Berkshire Botanical Gardens annual winter lecture marks its 21st year with an illustrated talk, The New Shade Garden, Creating a Lush Oasis in the Age of Climate Change. It's presented by lecturer, photographer, and author Ken Drews. The event will be held on Saturday, January 13th, that's this Saturday, at 2 p.m. at Lenox Memorial High School. Called the guru of natural gardening by the New York Times, Drews is best known for his 20 garden books published over the last 25 years. The American Horticultural Society listed his first large-format work, The Natural Garden, among the best books of all time. In 2013, the Smithsonian Institute announced the acquisition of the Ken Drews Collection of Garden Photography, comprising 100,000 images of American gardens and plants. Again, his talk, The New Shade Garden, will be happening on Saturday, January 13th at 2 p.m. at Lenox Memorial High School. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Ken Drews to the program this morning. Ken, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Joe, that was pretty exciting listening to the introduction, almost like an obituary while I'm still alive.
Well, it does really show what you have accomplished. You've accomplished a lot. Did you set out to do this kind of work? Did you think at a very young age, at an early age, of, oh, well, this is where I'm going to dedicate my life?
Well, that's interesting because you listed so many things. I think I always loved plants and watching plants grow and playing in the dirt even when I was like 4 and 5 years old. But I went to RISD, Rhode Island School of Design, and yep. I was an illustrator and a filmmaker. And I worked in magazines, when there used to be magazines, and newspapers, and started doing books kind of by accident. But I've always wanted to communicate my love for gardens and for plants to as many people as possible.
Is there a link between, or let me rephrase that question, describe the link, for you anyway, between photography and gardening.
Well, that's such a good question. I know people say that, but it's a good question.
I don't mind when people say that, but that's fine.
They usually say, that's a great question. And then they say, so, look, listen, and I think about that all the time. I guess it's part of communicating what I see and what I think, and I think very often what I feel about a garden. But when you ask that question, I the first thing that came to mind is the problem with photography is that it's two-dimensional. And maybe it'll turn people on to go and look at gardens or gardens that I photograph and are featured in publications or my books or the Berkshire Botanical Garden. There's nothing like experiencing it in person. And when I see photographs of gardens and I think they're so wonderful, but when I get there, I never expected to see all that. So the best thing you can do is a photograph or a video, but better than that is to be there in person.
You know, I don't think there's probably a person listening who hasn't done this, that they've gone to a national park, or they've gone to a botanical garden, or they've gone somewhere of just the utmost beauty, and they have taken a photo, and then they've come home and they said, well, it just doesn't do it justice.
Mm-hmm.
How are you able to do it justice?
Well, when you started talking about that, I thought about all the people who go places, and I know it's a cliche, but they don't experience where they are. They experience where they are through their phones.
Well, yes, that's annoying, too.
Yes. I find that sometimes a close-up of a flower or of a detail of a sculpture in a garden, sometimes those things communicate the feeling of the place and what it's like to be there better than the big long shot of what the garden looks like, or these days, the shot from the drone.
Right. And do you feel that you're able to capture it, to get that beauty? Because gardens, especially in all of their, there's such variety that you're able to catch that moment, because that life of that living thing and the way that it looks at that moment is fleeting, isn't it?
It is fleeting, and it's taken many years, as you described, for me to understand it. But if you want to take really good pictures of your garden or of anybody's garden, you have to be there when the light is right. And I think that has the most to do with it. People love to visit gardens when it's sunny out, but when it's sunny, the shadows are very dark. It's very high contrast. And it your pictures, when you look at them when you come back home, they don't really look right. But if you get there on an overcast day, which is wonderful, or early in the morning, or even in the evening right before the light fades, and take pictures then, it all looks so much better, and you see depth in the garden and the different greens. There's so many different greens, but often you take a picture and it's green. So you really have to be there at the right moment.
So let's talk about the subject at hand, which is the lecture that you will be giving on Saturday at 2 o'clock at Lenox Memorial High School for the Berkshire Botanical Garden. It is entitled, The New Shade Garden, Creating a Lush Oasis in the Age of Climate Change. So let us talk about what the new shade garden is. What makes that up?
Well, several years ago, about 25 years ago, I wrote a book called The Natural Shade Garden, which was my most popular book. And it sold for years and years, went into 12 printings. And this book, the new book and the new idea that I'm talking about is not the same. It's not like a rework of those original ideas, because I've realized that there isn't that much we can do in our gardens to change the climate. We have to participate in educating people as much as possible and contribute to holding things back, and you know what I mean, as far as climate change. But in our own gardens, I think the things that we need to do are to stay out of the sun, create as much shade as possible, plant trees, nurture trees, and really the shade is 10 to 20 degrees cooler than the sun. So it seems logical to me to create these oases to create shelter from the sun as our temperature rises, which doesn't seem likely this week, but it is rising.
Do you see profound difference in your garden as the result of climate change?
I see differences. I guess yes. I've been in this garden for about 23 years. In the first 10 years, everything was kind of the way it was, and the temperature would go down to about 8 degrees below zero every year, and then it would go up to about 93 degrees in the summer. It was very steady, and in the evening, it would drop to 50-something degrees, which was wonderful. Well, it doesn't drop anymore in the summer, and some of the winters, it doesn't go below 15 degrees above zero, and then some of the winters it goes to 5 below zero. So it's very erratic. But one thing that I did experience was flooding, because my garden is on an island in a river. And Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee about 5 years ago turned left. And for the first time, they came 60 miles inland and got to my garden. And there was flooding. I looked in the records as far as I could. There had never been anything like it before. And my garden was under 4 feet of water. So we have these aberrant occurrences. And even in the summer, now we have these rainstorms that are very short, don't deliver a lot of water, but deliver it at once. And they do damage too. It's just different. The climate's changing, but the weather is different, and we're experiencing different weather over the last few years. You in Massachusetts have more snow than usual.
Yeah. So the idea of creating a lush oasis, talk about the possibilities there of what is available to us in creating that lush oasis. And then I would just be interested in hearing, and maybe you could start with this, of why having a lush oasis is so important for us, because I think that gets to our very soul, doesn't it?
Well, to me, the garden speaks to my soul all the time. That's I'm just moved by that, and probably most by not only designing gardens or sculpting with living things, with plants and planting trees, but watching things grow and watching things change. And no matter how old you are, plant those trees. But I think that you can create the oasis. If you need to make a cooler spot right away, you can do it with architecture. You can do it with pergolas. You can do it with structures. But you really also should do it by planting trees, as many trees as you possibly can. And in New England, you also have magnificent woodland plants. So you can plant trees to create more shade, and you can develop a woodland with trillium and other fantastic early spring ephemeral wildflowers, and maybe visit the Garden in the Woods in Framingham, Massachusetts, and get some really good ideas.
When you look at the talk that you'll be giving, obviously very specific, but what are the subjects that you like to cover and go over and talk about to the assembled group?
Well, I will show some examples of things that have happened in my own garden over the last 10 years. And I'm going to show a lot of plants because I want to turn people on to the possibilities of shade, because a lot of people think, oh, flower gardens, got to be out in the sun. And some people want to grow vegetables, and that has to, you can do that and maybe just go out in the morning or late in the afternoon when the sun isn't beating down. But I mostly want to show beautiful plants, but also talk about what trees do, what soil does, how you can conserve moisture and water, and use fewer resources. So there's a lot of things that you can do, and I think developing a garden in the shade is really, it's very sustainable and also kind to the earth.
Talk a little bit about that, the kindness to the earth. How have you achieved that over the years, and how do you introduce that concept to not only your readers but to audiences as well?
How much time do we have?
my smart ass answer is I got an hour and 15 minutes, but for the purposes of this, let's just say we have 5 minutes left.
Okay. Well, I can't really remember all the statistics, but I do talk about and show slides with statistics that show how things like putting compost on the soil will sequester an enormous amount of CO2. I don't double dig or dig nutrients and compost into the soil. I put it on the surface, which is called the no-till method. And in that way, you're not disturbing the earth or bringing up weed seeds or compressing things or removing air. So there's something like that. Then there's things like establishing woodland plants by watering in the first year. And if they're the local woodland plants, they do care for themselves after the first year. I show how much carbon dioxide is absorbed by trees and what trees contribute to the landscape, how we can, well, even not use power equipment as much. And, of course, in the shade, we don't have as much lawn, and lawn takes an enormous amount of petroleum and puts out a whole lot of bad pollution. Well, pollution's bad in any way. So things like that.
The idea of bringing this all together in the work, how do you plan a garden? How do you plan your garden ahead? And I assume you're asked this question a lot as to how you want to see it grow over a period of time, what your hopes are for it over a period of time, and how you map that out.
Well, I think that changes a lot over time, and actually, the question I get asked most is, what would you say to a beginning gardener, someone who's never gardened before? And I think about that because I can't believe, and you didn't ask it, but I can't believe I'm asked that so many times. And I just want people to get out there and to do it and to try it. And if you have a need to nurture things and if you love to see things grow, then you will be successful. But do it anyway. It doesn't even matter if you're successful. Just get out there. But over time, I've had to adjust what I want from the garden because I'm getting older, and I don't want to move to a gated, small, elderly community eventually. I want to stay here. So I'm shrinking the garden, and I'm shrinking the garden by planting more and more self-reliant, deciduous, woody shrubs on the edges, shrubs that take care of themselves and are beautiful and flower and have other attributes like fall color or colored twigs. So I'm just bringing the garden in from the edges as part of what, so I have less to do. So that's something that I wouldn't have done early on, wouldn't have thought of. But early on, one thing I did think of is planting trees because they take a long time. So I think, well, I know the first thing I did when I got to this property was plant trees. And now I can I can enjoy them. And in 23 years, it's amazing what happened with trees. I'm always reminded of Helen Stoddard, who lived in Worcester, Massachusetts. And she was 75 years old, and she was planting little magnolia trees about 3 feet. And everyone said, why are you doing that? Because she's 75 years old. And I remember shortly before she died, about 20 years later, she was sitting on a bench in the shade of those trees. So I say to everybody, do it. Just do it.
Ken Drews will be giving the winter lecture for the Berkshire Botanical Gardens this Saturday. It is entitled The New Shade Garden, Creating a Lush Oasis in the Age of Climate Change. You can find out more information by going to the Berkshire Botanical Garden website. It is at 2 o'clock at Lenox Memorial High School. Ken, thank you very much for being with us. What a pleasure.
Joe, you're really good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right back to you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.